did it again. Man could get to all the scriptures that he's mentioned in this 15 minutes, and I'm not going to attempt to do that because I'm not going to chase his rabbit all over the country, but I'm going to stick to my argument in Romans 5 verse 12. Now this is what the text means, and this is what it's saying. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That's talking about the posterity of Adam. It's talking about the offspring of Adam. All sinned. And therefore, that brought about death. Do all human beings die? Why, certainly, if Jesus doesn't come back before, we're going to die. We're going to die because we were not created mortal. Now, Johnny says we're created mortal. We are not created mortal. I read to you where we were created in the image of God. And God created Adam in his image after his likeness. Let me ask the question. Is God immortal? Now, he's the only one that has original immortality. But did he create Adam immortal? Well, if he was in the image of God, then he was immortal, and he was not dying. Though his very flesh was taken from the dust of the earth, and God shaped him and formed him, and he was a natural man, he was of the earth earthy. Yet the image of God, by the breath of God, was breathed into his body, and therefore he became a living soul. He is an immortal man because God gave him life. God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. You ought to be able to see that. Johnny is, he has led us on a wild goose chase, quoted all these scriptures that the best scholar couldn't get to in a debate, and therefore his argument falls. He's in a corner. He's dug himself in a hole, and therefore he really can't answer. He accused me of saying that I responded to the gospel when I was dead in sin. I never said that. The only people that can respond to the gospel are people that are spiritually alive by the Holy Spirit. That's the only people that have the ability to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And therefore, that people that are made alive by the Spirit, the gospel is the good news and the glad tidings unto them of Jesus Christ our Lord. The remedy is stronger than the disease. Johnny is trying to make the symptoms the cause. Johnny, if you had a terrible, horrific headache and you went to the doctor and the doctor examined you and he said, Johnny, your headache is causing your headache, I don't believe you'd go back to him, because he's saying that the symptoms are causing the disease. No, it's the disease that causes the symptoms. There has to be a cause. If you got a terrible headache, there has to be a cause of it. It could be simply an eye strain, or it could be a tumorous cancer in your brain that's causing you to have a headache. But there's a cause of it. And the cause of death is sin. Adam sinned, and he brought death into this world. God said, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Adam partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and he died. Johnny says he didn't die. Johnny says he just got sick, and he can come back to God. Well, Adam couldn't come back to God. He couldn't come back to his original state. He couldn't come back to his uprightness. He couldn't come back to where God had placed him in that garden, that beautiful paradise. He couldn't go back. And sinners can't come back to God because we're all born in condemnation. The scriptures that I've used over and over again, the nine witnesses, the ten witnesses, The Bible is very clear that man by nature is a sinner, and therefore, because he is by nature a sinner, that's the reason he sins. That's the symptom of the disease. The disease is sin, and therefore he's a sinner. He commits sin because he is a sinner. Over and over again, I have cited scripture that God said, "Thou art a transgressor from the womb." Now, you have to believe what God said, or you have to believe what Johnny says. You going to believe what he says, or you going to believe what God says? I say we must believe the Almighty God. He is a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. God says, concerning sinners, "Thou art a transgressor from the womb." If you're a transgressor from the womb, then you are a transgressor. That is by nature. Certainly, man can become more depraved. You could put strychnine in a glass of water. Every molecule of that water would be poisonous. But you can put another dropper full of strychnine in that water, and it becomes more poisonous. Yes, man in his activity of sin, he becomes, in his activity, he shows forth his depravity, and he does things against God. His will is bent toward destruction. Even his mind and his conscience are defiled. His mind does not perceive God in his goodness and his mercy. His mind is corrupt. His very will is bent toward destruction. It doesn't mean that man doesn't know between good and wrong, because he does, but he loves the wrong. Man in his depravity loves wrong, and therefore he's going to do wrong. A man sins because he's a sinner. In Psalm 58:3, which I've quoted over and over again, the wicked are estranged from the womb, and they go forth as soon as they be born, speaking lies. The wicked are under consideration. It's the depraved human nature. The wicked are estranged from the womb, and therefore they go astray. Johnny says this is not chronological, but it is. The wicked are estranged from the womb. Who was in the womb? It was the wicked, the depraved human nature. The wicked are estranged from the womb. That is, they come forth from the womb, and as soon as they come forth, they go astray. This is chronological. They go astray because they have a sinful human nature, and as soon as they are capable, they're going to speak lies. And it doesn't take long for a child to start speaking lies. Johnny accuses us of damning infants in hell. Nothing could be further from the truth. Why would people bring infants to Jesus if infants didn't need Jesus? He touched them. And the Great One touched infants because that they needed a blessing. If they didn't need Jesus and they didn't need a blessing, why did he say, "Suffer little children and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God"? Well, infants don't do anything to receive the kingdom of God. Neither, if infants don't do anything to receive that phase of the kingdom of God, then adults don't do anything to receive that phase of the kingdom of God. They don't work to get into it, and they're not baptized into that phase of the kingdom of God, because infants don't work to get into it, and they're not baptized to get into that phase of the kingdom of God. You see, his argument falls. He's dug himself a hole. He's trying to get out. He goes to all kinds of different scriptures that no scholar could get to in the time frame of trying to run me around, of trying to get to all these scriptures where there's no way you can do it. You know, as I stated last Sunday night, you can drop a glass of milk in the floor. It just takes 1 second. But it takes a whole lot longer to clean it up, to clean the mess up. And this mess, it would take a long time to clean his mess up. He's dropped the glass of milk in the floor, and therefore he's made a mess. It would take me a long time to clean his mess up. He accuses us of not believing that Jesus Christ is successful in his work upon the cross. In Matthew 1:21, does it not state by the angel Gabriel unto Joseph, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He saved his people from their sins. That's who he came into the world to save. We believe that he cured that sin debt, that he paid the sin debt for his people who were in sin. He extricated them above the law of sin and death, and therefore they are above that law, and they can never go under that law again. In Romans chapter 6, which Johnny read last Sunday night, it says here, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, in the same way, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed to sin. I've said over and over again, the person that has been lifted up above the law of sin and death cannot go back under that law. Just like Christ died, he died into sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, in the same way, likewise, Johnny, likewise. Reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Likewise, just like Jesus Christ, Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. The child of God cannot die anymore dead in trespasses and sins when he's lifted out of it. Death hath no more dominion over Christ. Death hath no more dominion over the child of God, because he liveth unto God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign. Now he's talking about the child of God. Don't let sin reign in your mortal body because of this, because that you are raised up above the law of sin and death. You still have the nature of sin, but you have the new man, or the quickened man, who can respond to spiritual things, who can respond to the gospel. That's the only man that can respond to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the gospel according to John chapter 5 and verse 25, it says, verily, verily, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead, who? The dead in sin. When the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. That's the only voice that can get a person that is dead in sin out of that death. They shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. They hear that voice of the Spirit, of the voice of the Son of God, and they live immediately, and they come out of death. They live. Well, in verse 24, it says, verily, verily, he that heareth my word, all right, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, hath, is in possession of everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed, it's a past completed work of God, is passed from death unto life. Can you not see that he that heareth God's word and believeth, he's not hearing and believing in order to get eternal life. He's hearing and believing because he is passed from death unto life. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that is on God that sent me hath everlasting life, that is in possession of everlasting life. And I showed you how that everlasting life came to that one that was dead. Jesus Christ spoke to him by his all-powerful voice in the work of creation. And that new creature in Christ Jesus has the ability to respond, to hear and to believe, because he hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. Shall not come. Cannot go back into condemnation. Cannot go back into the law of sin and death.
Okay, friends.
I actually introduced, we need my graphics back up, y'all. I actually introduced 8 scriptures in my last argument from what we had on the first night. We basically went over the same stuff that we've been going over. I introduced 8 new scriptures. Now, he had that 9 or 11 witnesses. He brought up another 2 more scriptures tonight to add to that. And I basically went along and tried to answer his scriptures last time. And when I give several scriptures that make the same point, that doesn't mean that he has to refer to all of them as this, each one of them as a point. But it would be nice if he just went to one of them. How about the one that says that Paul said that I was alive once, and then I died. And then he describes his death to be exactly in the same words that Eve's death came. He didn't even go there. All that was one scripture, and the others just supported it. He went to Luke chapter 18 and tried to say that all those were sinners because Jesus touched them. Now, friends, have you ever heard a stretch? That is a stretch. It's just like adding total depravity to Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Let's go back and let's listen very closely because I was rushing last time.
Okay.
To
well,
his
well,
statement.
How do you know that's applying to you, I guess is what I'm saying.
How do I know that it's me?
Yes, sir.
Because I responded to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and therefore it gave me the evidence or the proof that I was one of the elect of God.
Now, I wish that I was able to actually take what he said just a minute ago as he got around this, trying to say that somehow or other, he, a dead man, a natural man born in sin, was able to respond to the Spirit. But listen to him say that the natural man can't respond to spiritual things. Let's listen to it.
Oh, certainly. We believe that the Spirit of a man that God first placed in Adam is from God, directly from the breath of God. But that spirit is dead in trespasses and in sins. But that spirit is dead in trespasses and in sins. But that spirit is dead in trespasses and in sins. But that spirit is dead in trespasses and in sins. You see, if eternal salvation is dependent upon man coming to God, he'll never come because he's dead. He's just as dead, incapacitated, and lying in the wickedness of sin as the dead man out in the cemetery. He can't get up. How do I know that it's me?
Yes, sir.
Because I responded to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because I responded to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because I responded to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and therefore it gave me the evidence or the proof that I was one of the elect of God. You see, if eternal salvation is dependent upon man coming to God, he'll never come because he's dead. I responded to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I responded to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, if eternal salvation is dependent upon man coming to God, he'll never come because he's dead. I responded to the gospel of Jesus Christ. No, that's not circular. I said the evidence or the proof that you are an elect of God is your response to spiritual things. The evidence or the proof that you are an elect of God is your response to spiritual things.
Now, he's saying a dead man can respond to spiritual things. That's your evidence of the proof that you responded to spiritual things. Listen to what he had formerly said.
The evidence or the proof that you are an elect of God is your response to spiritual things.
Okay.
The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God.
But see, his evidence of his proof is he responded to spiritual things. But the natural man, he's a dead man, so he says, well, he really can't make up his mind. He thinks that he's alive, and his evidence is that he responded to spiritual things, which a natural man can't do. Well, maybe he wasn't born a natural man.
We're talking about a natural man that is alienated from God. He receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. So a man must be made spiritual before he can perceive spiritual things.
Now you just said that you can't receive spiritual things. And then you turn around and say, you must receive spiritual things before you can be born of God. Well, which is it? You can't or you can't? Let's continue to listen. Make
before
sure
he can have communication and good fellowship and his relationship with God, he must be made spiritual, and God is the only one that can do that. In Ephesians chapter...
All right, so the question is can the natural man receive the things of the Spirit of God? Well, the evidence that he gave on the phone that he is a saved person is he actually receives spiritual things. but the natural man. So were you not a natural man? Were you actually born into this world a spiritual man so that you could receive the spiritual things? I don't think he knows. The natural man receiveth not the things of the spiritual, but he must be made spiritual before he can receive spiritual. That is a contradiction. The natural man receiveth not the things of the spirit, but he must be made spiritual before he can receive spiritual things. You talk about double talk. That is the most foolish thing I've ever heard. Listen to him go
over.
We're
talking about a natural man that is alienated from God. He receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. So a man must be made spiritual before he can perceive spiritual things, before he can have communication and good fellowship and his relationship with God. He must be made spiritual, and God is the only one that can do that.
Well, wait a minute. Isn't being made spiritual a spiritual thing? But yet he can't receive spiritual things, but he must be made spiritual before he can receive the spiritual man. Now, friends, this is not me, this is him.
We're talking about a natural man that is alienated from God. He receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. A natural man that is alienated from God, he receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. So a man must be made spiritual before he can perceive spiritual things. A natural man that is alienated from God, he receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Before he can have communication and good fellowship and his relationship with God, he must be made spiritual, and God is the only one that can do that. He receiveth not the things.
I think you got it. And in John 14:17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Now, he was telling you a while ago in John chapter 5, he was talking to you about hearing the voice of God. Well, Jesus is saying that the Spirit of truth cannot be received by the world. Well, I think the only way he's going to extricate him out of this situation, himself out of the situation, is to claim that he was born a spiritual man. Well, a moment ago, he tried to say that Adam was born spiritual. But you know what? The Bible just will not allow that. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that Adam was born a natural man. And this word living soul is the exact same translation, just in a different tense, of this word that is translated natural. He is born a natural man, and that which is spiritual is not first. He tried to say that Adam was created, I might have said born, he said created, a spiritual individual. Wrong. The Bible will not let you have that. That which is natural is first, and Dan Parker was born natural, and the natural man cannot receive the Spirit of God, but yet he claims that the way he knows he's one of the elect is his evidence is that he receives spiritual things. Double talk, and it's just simply more of the same. Now, friends, he could have answered these other scriptures that I brought up, but he chose not to, and there's no use letting him just get around and impugn me and say that I brought in too many scriptures or anything of that nature. We'll go back to them. There's only going to be five, and surely he can handle five if he had me go through how many ever it was, 9 or 11 witnesses. I can't remember which one it was, but I tried to deal with that kind of information just because he put it up. And I want to be that way. I want to try to follow him if I can. So let me just go back and let's just notice these again, and maybe he will decide that he wants to answer the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul says this, I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Now who are you going to believe? Paul said he started out with life and then he died. Our Baptist friends all over town, they say you're dead first, then you get life. Well, friends, you can just, I am not basically giving you my interpretation. I'm just reading it. I believe that God knew that someone would come along, Augustine first, and try to teach born in sin from Romans chapter 5, verse 12. That is not what he is teaching. He is teaching rather something altogether different. He's telling us about the system that we're in. And he clarifies it when he says, I started out with life. Well, here we go. I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and it deceived Eve, and it by it slew me. Life, death, exactly opposite from what he says and what all of his Baptist cohorts say. Notice
show me
what the Bible says. Now, he did go to this one, tried to say that these infants were actually sinners, sinful. Jesus needed to touch them, but Jesus said, such is the kingdom of God. Well, the kingdom of God is full of sinners then. That would be his argumentation. Notice this one, the soul that sinneth it shall die. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father, neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. Now, basically, those are the scriptures I brought up. I simply said that he was teaching the same thing as Satan was teaching back in the Garden of Eden. There's only, there's two new scriptures. Now, surely he can follow those. The reason he doesn't want to follow those, friends, is because it will involve him in quite a lot of explanation. You don't just get around Romans chapter 7, verse 9, unless he wants to say what he said to me personally, that Paul was dead and alive at the same time. It sounds like him. He was born in sin, natural man, which cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God, but yet he did. Now, I'd just like to know how that kind of thing takes place. Let me go and let's look at a couple of other things that I want you to see in regard to some of the ways that I've had to deal with things and the different teachings at different times. Listen to this. Another question that I have upon my mind is, if a person is born sinless, if they have no sin, no nature of sin, why is it, Brother Johnny, that they cannot remain sinless? Well, let's ask that question. Adam was created sinless. Now, why is it, Dan, that Adam, if he was created sinless, couldn't remain sinless? When you find the answer to that, you found the answer for mankind. Because what you're saying is, your proof that we're all sinners is that we sin. Well, Adam was created and he sinned, so wouldn't that then be the same proof that he actually was a sinner in the beginning? Oh no, that's not going to work. Well, that's the exact same reasoning. Let's listen to his kind of reasoning.
Adam was not. He was not deceived. He was, he knew full well when he did what God told him not to do, that he'd die. Because God said that in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So Satan did not. He did not deceive Adam. Adam had a direct line from God's,
but he sinned. Now, if his sinning doesn't prove that he was created sinful, then why does it prove that we are created sinful? I just don't understand why that would be the case. Well, let's listen to that.
I mean, no human being...
Let me see if I can give you one more. Now listen to this.
If we're talking about a natural man that is alienated from God, he receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. So a man must be made spiritual before he can perceive spiritual things.
Now friends, I just don't know how to demonstrate a greater contradiction. You can't receive spiritual things if you are a natural man. So you're going to have to be made spiritual. Well, being made spiritual would be receiving spiritual things. You see, that is what I'm talking about of this doctrine. It is simply filled with double talk. It is simply filled with contradiction. Let's go back up in the few seconds that I have left, and I'll just look at Romans chapter 5, verse 12 right quick, because that really, I think, is where most of the information that he's putting forth is coming from. And I'm just going to have to do that on my next speech because I'm running out of time. Let's see here. Let me just let you close with him giving his information as to why.
That God first placed in Adam is from God, directly from the breath of God. But that spirit...
There he goes again.
You know, he's going around and around and around. 1 Corinthians 2:14. We're going to put it in its context, which he's taking it out of its context. He's taken what I've said out of context, and he's tried to make it appear that I have said something that I did not say. You see, he is a master at this. He is a professional scripture twister. And so he has taken out of context what I said in 1 Corinthians 2:14. Let's look at Corinthians 2:14. It says in verse 11, "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him?" Talking about the spirit of a man. "Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but by the Spirit." He says that no man that is a natural man can know the things of the Spirit unless he is spiritual, but by the Spirit. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Is the gospel a thing of the Spirit of God? Well, Paul says that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. So a natural man cannot receive the gospel. He cannot know spiritual things. That is, through and by preaching the gospel unto him. He cannot know spiritual things. That's what Paul is saying here. Unless, it says, only those that can perceive spiritual things are those that are made spiritual. How is a man made spiritual? It's not by the gospel. Because the gospel is a thing of the Spirit. And the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit. For they are foolishness unto him. The gospel is foolishness unto the natural man. Neither can he know them. It says that he cannot know them. That is the natural man. He's not talking about the spiritual man that is born of the Spirit. That man can know the things of the Spirit. Because he says here, they are spiritually discerned, are spiritually perceived. But he that is spiritual, now he's talking about a person that is spiritual, been made alive by the Spirit of God in his soul, he can discern spiritual things. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. This is very clear, this is very plain, that the natural man cannot know the things of the Spirit. But those that have been made spiritual by the working of God's Spirit in their heart, they can know spiritual things. They can discern spiritual things. It's an unchangeable principle in God's Word that the man that is spiritual, that is born of the Spirit, he can perceive spiritual things. He can respond to the gospel. And if he's a spiritual man, it is positive proof that God made him a spiritual man by the direct work of his Spirit within his spirit and raised his spirit up from being dead in sin to alive in Jesus Christ. My friends, I'm telling you that the man that is dead in trespasses and in sins, he has to be quickened by the Spirit, by God himself, by the voice of Jesus Christ. He must become a new creature, and that is the work of God within his heart. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, that is by birth, the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us. That is, has imparted spiritual life unto us who were dead. Dead in trespasses and in sins, we could not respond positively to any gospel message when we were dead. But the Spirit of God quickened us, made us alive. The gospel comes along. Therefore, we're able to respond to a thing of the Spirit. The gospel is a thing of the Spirit. Brother Johnny would tell us that a man, a natural man, can respond to his teaching, to his preaching. That's what he's out to do. He's out to save the natural man from hell. or the man that is dead in trespasses and sins by what he says, if he will cooperate, if he will obey, if he will confess, if he will repent, if he'll be baptized, if he'll outrun the devil unto the end, then he'll finally make it into heaven. And the man has to do that. Yes, it is the cooperation of the dead sinner in what he teaches in order for that man to be made spiritual. But I am saying that God is the one who does the work independent of Johnny's preaching, my preaching, anybody else's preaching. God does the work himself, by himself, when he will, upon whom he will. Jesus says, as the Father raiseth the dead. Who? Who has the power, the only power to raise the dead? As the Father raiseth the dead, even so the Son quickeneth or imparteth life to whom he will. This is the will of the Son. To whom he will, not to who will let him, not to who will cooperate, because the dead man can't cooperate. I've stated over and over again. And last Sunday night, Johnny said, read that scripture in the Gospel according to John, chapter 6 and verse 45. As it is written in the prophets, we shall all be taught of God. Who does the teaching? God. Directly. There is a direct teaching of God in the heart to that man. Therefore, he is made spiritual by God. Who does the teaching? God. As it is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of. This is of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Johnny, does every man you teach learn, and does he come unto the Father? Does every man that you teach, does he come, and does he learn, and does he do all the things that you say that he can do? No, my friends, I'm telling you that a man that is dead in trespasses and in sin, he can't. He can't learn. But when the Father teaches him, this teaching is directly from the Father. As, let me quote it again. As it is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught. All who? Is that all human beings, Johnny? Well, then all human beings are taught of God in their heart, and they hear and they learn of the Father, and they all are going to come to Jesus Christ, and they're all going to live in heaven. If that's all human beings, Johnny, if that's all inclusive, all human beings, then they're all going to live in heaven. But it says, and they shall all be taught of God. All who? All of God's elect. They shall be taught of God. And therefore they shall hear and learn of the Father. Who teaches them? They shall hear and learn of the Father. Jesus says, cometh unto me. That coming is irresistible, because it's the Father who has drawn them out of death and sin to life in Jesus Christ. And that's what I am saying, that Jesus Christ is the Savior of sinners, and he's not a failure. He has not been defeated. When he died upon the cross of Calvary, he knew everyone he is dying for, and everyone he died for, he extricated them up above the law of sin and death, and they are his forevermore. Who shall separate them from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord? Who's going to separate those that Jesus died for and redeemed with his precious blood and offered his blood to God? Who's going to separate them from God? They can never be separated from God. Jesus said himself in John 10, he says, my sheep hear my voice. Who is it that hears the voice? My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me. Here is the gift of the Father. When were they given? They were given before the world began. It's very clear. So many scriptures could be cited. John 17, 1, Jesus lifted his eyes up to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee, as thou hast given him power, authority over all flesh. That is all human beings. There is no human being outside the authority of Jesus Christ. But here's what Jesus says. Thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give. Give what? Give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And they will be given eternal life. John, if I told you to go
to the basket and get me as many red apples are in that basket, and you got as many red apples in that basket, you brought them all to me. As many as the Father has given me, I will give unto them eternal life. These are the words of Jesus. I believe what Jesus said. Johnny talks about Paul saying, I was alive without the law. Well, the Apostle Paul, being a Pharisee of the Pharisees, going about to kill the saints of God, he thought verily that the life, that eternal life was in doing what he was doing in the law. But when the commandment came, when Jesus came to him, he said, sin revived and I died. That is, he died to that, and therefore he knew then when Jesus came to him, it was not by what he thought he was doing, whereby that he would gain eternal life. That's what he meant when he said, I was alive without the law. But when the commandment came, the commandment, what commandment? The commandment from the voice of Jesus Christ. He said, sin revived, and I died. He died. When the voice of Jesus Christ spoke to him, he died. He was raised up from death and sin. He died unto sin at that very time. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. That's what Jesus did for Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus. And that's what he does for every Arab promise somewhere in their life. When he speaks, they live, and therefore they have eternal life. They have spiritual life. Therefore, they are given the power to believe, to repent, to follow Jesus Christ. They love Jesus Christ, and they do the things that the Lord Jesus Christ would have them to do by the inner man, by the spiritual man. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. That law has been covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Christ has lifted his people above that law of sin and death. They can never go back under that law again, because Christ extricated them above the law of sin and death. I'm saying here tonight, my dear friends, that Jesus Christ is the Savior of sinners. And he reached down to where we were in sin. He came to where we were. And he was made sin for us who knew no sin. And we were made the righteousness of God in him. We were made accepted in Jesus Christ when he died upon the cross, positionally and legally. And then he will apply the effects of his precious blood and his death unto every heir of promise. He will. He has done it. He will do it. He shall do it. That's what I'm talking about tonight, that Jesus Christ is the Savior of his people. They were in sin. They fell in Adam's transgression. Wherefore by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned.
All right, I'm going to open the phone lines. I think Dan is
leave at this time, or... And let me just say before he does leave that Geno Jennings is coming to town next week, and I understand that he's buying up time. He's already left me a flyer letting me know. Last time Geno Jennings was here in town in 2002, I believe it was, I bought airtime, ready to meet him, went down to the place where he was meeting, and offered him an opportunity to be on television with us for quite a long time, and he declined. And all of his people made all kinds of excuses as to why it didn't happen. So this time around, it's very easy for us to get on the air. It's very easy for him to get on the air. He already has a contract with Channel 18. I apologize that you people here in Reedsville won't be watching, but next week, that's what is going to be our agenda. And so we're going to open up the phone lines, and if you want to call in at this time, I don't think they have the phone lines up. Let's see if I can get to my actual phone number, and we'll go to my cell phone and let people call in while we wait. You can call in on this. If we can go back to my graphic, guys, we might...